I wanted to discuss with you because I honestly never got a chance in my own life to really look into the sources on this question that comes up year in and year out. I mean, we hope Mashiach will come and it won't be relevant, but, and that is about working, you know, going to work during the 9 days, buying things, building things. What about during Shavuot Shachalbo? What about even work on Tisha B'Av itself? Do I go to work? Do I not go to work? You know, work for the sake of profit, work for the sake of pleasure. Let's say, for example, we'll have the issue of a chas and kala that are getting married after the 3 weeks. Are they allowed to prepare for the wedding? Can he buy a ring, you know, for her during the 9 days? And all the like. So when I ask the question here, and it's a little bit of a pun, what's the deal on work during the 9 days? What I mean is the deal, you know, can we make deals during the 9 days? Now, what we're going to have to study here are two primary, shall I say, sources in Chazal. One is a Gemara in Tainis, and one is a Gemara in Yevamos. Those are the two main sources that we want to see. The Mishnah in Tainis tells us, "Mishenichnas Av mematim besimcha." So, as far as the 9 days are concerned, the Mishnah codifies miut simcha. And it would seem to me, and I hope that the learning that we do today will bear me out on this, that anything that's usher during the 9 days has to be somehow connected to this overall highlighted, you know, a line called miut simcha. Meaning, if we're going to get to discuss deals and work and building and renovations during the 9 days and so forth, it's always going to have to come back to simcha. Unless there's another source besides this Mishnah in Tainis. But right now, you know, all I have in front of me is the Mishnah in Tainis, and we're talking about Miut Simcha. That's what it says, Miut Simcha. So any involvement in Simcha, which we have to know what constitutes involvement in Simcha, is meant to be avoided during the month of Av. Now, there's also another dimension to the month of Av, and that has to do with what we call Mazel. And just to go a little bit off on a tangent, but I want to come back to our main discussion here, this concept of Mazel, I think, is misinterpreted. What I mean to say is people think that because so many terrible things befell the Jewish people during the month of Av, and especially, of course, on Tisha B'Av, we had two Charbonos and much more. Therefore, this month, by definition, in the spiral of time, is catastrophic in its very nature, in its very essence. I believe that that's a misnomer, that's a mistake. There's no such thing as a period of time which, by definition, inherently, essentially, is catastrophic. The Torah doesn't recognize that. On the contrary, you could have a period of time which is by definition a period of time that's simchadik, that is laden with hashkacha pratis for the Jew, with nisim v'niflos, and that's forever and forever. And I would even say that when Purim took place and when Chanukah took place, those calendar dates for all eternity are good dates. There's no such thing in the evil side. What we do say is that we have to be careful of our enemies, and sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu works it out that our enemies come back on the same days, but we shouldn't go too far with this. We shouldn't mistakenly think that those days are inherently evil. There is no such thing as inherent evil. God created time. Time is a creation of God. And Rav Huttner in his Pachet Yitzchak always emphasizes that time is a creation. Anything that God creates is good. And that's why Zechariah Novi says that Yomim Ha'elu Yil Beis Yisrael L'Sasa L'Simcha. It means that these days are really days of Sasa V'Simcha. Mashiach is born on Tisha B'Av. So we cannot say that the days themselves are inherently evil. But when it comes to Mazel, that's already a different question. Mazel means a person has to live his life in a way that's cautious and take precautions and therefore the month of Av has been a month that continuously works in favor of our enemies, in favor of our adversaries, in favor of Esav against Yaakov. And therefore, the Gemara says in Masechta Tainis, Bar Yisrael, De Islei Dina Bari Nochri, L'shtamit Minei Bi'av. He should avoid going to judgment in a frontal confrontation with a good. Fine. So that's number one as far as Masechta Tainis is concerned. Now again, although the word simcha is mentioned, and if I think any problematic activities during this period of time of the 9 days has to relate to simcha, but there's another word here that really is very ambiguous. The Mishnah says, mimatim besimcha. We should limit our simcha. In other words, the Mishnah doesn't completely outlaw simcha. You know, there's no simcha. You know, you can't joke around during the 9 days. You can't be happy. You know, pekudi Hashem yishar mesamchei lev. Maybe we shouldn't be learning during these days. No, it says miut simcha. So that's a very ambiguous term. And hopefully, what we want to get for today—that's our goal—is to get a grasp on what it means miut simcha. What's the shiur? What's the measurement of miut simcha? And at this point, I think we want to approach the most important source for our discussion today, and that's the Gemara Yevamos on Daf Mem Gimel. Now, this sugya on Mem Gimel is only coincidentally related to our topic, because the main sugya has to do with what we call Erusin and Nisuim. And what that means is that there's a fundamental distinction between Erusin, which doesn't have or generate a Chiyuv Simcha or a Chiyuv Seuda, as opposed to Nisuin, which back in the day, of course, was culminating the marriage after 12 months. That Nisuin is an act of Simcha, inherently. And it requires a Seuda, and that's really the emphasis here in the Gemara in Yevamos. But by the by, the Gemara talks about situations like Shavuot Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av, where there are strict Isurim that reflect rejection of Simcha. For example, the Gemara here says in Yevamos, Asul Saper, we don't take haircuts, L'chavis, we don't launder clothing during this period of time of Shavuot Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av. Again, this year it's very questionable exactly when is Shavuot Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av. Is it dependent on the calendar date of Tisha B'Av, or is it engendered by the fast day of Tisha B'Av? And then, and this is most important for us, the Braisa is quoted here, Kodem Azman Azeh, before Shavuot Shechal Bo, meaning from the 9th of Av, is Ha'am Mematim. Again, we have that ambiguous phrase, Mematim, but here, we're not talking about Simcha, we're talking about Be'iskehem. Be'iskehem literally means with their business dealings. So we want to limit our business dealings. Milisa Velitain, from going into, you know, deliberations and negotiations for monetary purposes and deals. You know, you and I know people who spend their entire lives getting into deals. You know, they try to get the best deal. They buy companies that are on the down, and they recreate those companies and so forth and so on. These deals could involve millions and millions of dollars. That's called lisa velite. Not only that, me livnos vilinta. We should refrain from building and from planting. So we have four categories here. Number one, we have Asek. Number two, we have Lisa Velitain. Number three, we have Livnos. Number four, we have Lintoa. However, Ma'arsim, there's no prohibition for Erisin. I have a low Konsim. Konsim is Nisuin. Now, we're not sure exactly what the phrase Kodem Hazman Hazem means in this Braisa, and we're certainly not sure of what does mute mean, what constitutes mute. And furthermore, we don't understand what are these asakim and livnos and bnia netiya, And how do we reconcile this braisa with what we saw in the Mishnah in Tainus of Ematim B'Simcha? I mean, I don't see why building is simcha. I don't see why planting is an act of simcha. I don't see why Asek is an act of simcha. In any event, if you take a look at Rashi on the right side, Kodem Azman Azeh, he says that at this point, the sugi understands that it means Kosal Kedaita Kodem Tishabav, Dainu Kol HaShabbos Shechal Lios Pesocha. And therefore, the subject of this braisa is Shavua Shechal Bo Tishabav. But later on, the Gemara is going to come to a conclusion that perhaps these Isurim begin even before Shavua Shechal Bo with Mishenichnas Av, with Rosh Chodesh Av. Tosis, Divra Maskel Milisa, is bothered by our question. What is the connection here between Asek, etc., etc., and Simcha? And here Tosus invokes the Yushalmi, and we're going to come back to this Yushalmi a little later, Mitzvah Shem. The Yushalmi says, Muki bibinyan unetiyah shal simcha. It doesn't mean that you can't get involved in building. There's no construction during the 9 days. There's no plowing of fields during the 9 days or planting of fields. No. We're talking specifically about simcha, as we saw in Mamatim b'simcha. Now what? Now we come to grips with our question. So what's binyan shal simcha? Says Tosus Kigon Avurniki Shel Malachim, some sort of a palace of the kings, you know, which is a pure luxury building. In other words, we're not building for the sake of a home that we need. We're not refurbishing or renovating because we can't live in this wreck. That's not called simcha. What's called simcha has to have a special kind of thing. For example, what's Masa Umatan? Why are these business deals called simcha? Nami Airi Bishal Simcha Kigon Sarchei Schupa. In other words, I want to sit down with a caterer and sign a contract for a wedding that's going to take place after Tisha B'Av. I'm not allowed to do that during the 9 days. Why? Because that too is considered Masa Umatan Shal Simcha. Tosus wants to say that that's too far removed from simcha, just to sit down with the caterer and tell him how much you're going to pay per portion. Ain't nira.
Tell you how much it's going to cost.
Right. That's anything but simcha. And maybe it's simcha for the caterer, I don't know. The ain't nira de lo osar el seuda atzma. So he wants to suggest that something that is directly related to the seuda, that would be prohibited. Again, the poskim are going to have to figure out what Tosus has in mind. Now Tosus wants to go a step further, l'chumra, and he wants to suggest that not only do we prohibit masu matin shal simcha, which he suggests has something to do with sudas chupa, but he's willing to expand it a bit and say this should be an overall. You know, we should overall avoid ribui masu matan. You know, this is not the time period in which we want to make these big deals. You know, as we work, you know, 24/7 under the gun. You know, we should be mamait in masu matan, and now he's willing to expand it even beyond masu matan shal simcha. But as I said at the outset, that's a bit of a problem because that seems to be taking the halacha much further than it was meant to go. So let me just, before we see the Gemara in Megillah, which is on the bottom of your page 1, I just want to give a sort of overview of what we've seen so far. We started with the Mishnah in Tainus. We pointed out some sort of ambiguities of the Mishnah in Tainus. By the way, the poskim from the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch and Dan, they all quote and codify this Mishnah in Tainus, but they don't help clarify it really. So if you take a look, for example, in the Rambam, in Perek Gimel Mehilchas Tainius, the Rambam says, is Mematin Bibinyan Shal Simcha. I'm sorry, the Rambam in the fifth Perek of Tainius, on the bottom of page 2, writes, Mishenichnas Av Mematin Bisimcha. Well, that doesn't tell me beans about Binyan and Masu Matan or anything of that sort. And then for that matter, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, which is on page 3, which is Aruch Haim Simon Kuf Nun Aleph, The Shulchan Aruch writes on the bottom of your page, Beirosh Chodesh, V'yadatainis mematim v'masu matim v'vinyin shal simcha. Now, if I assume the word simcha is an adjective that goes on the entire le'el adaliel, the entire sentence, then masu matnon and binyan are all because of simcha. And I think that would be supported by the next line in the Shulchan Aruch where he gives an example. He says, kigon beis chasnus libno. He's building a chuppah for his son. Again, in those days, you know, they didn't have a cater hall, you know, an ulam smachot, you know, that you pay, but rather they would build something on a temporary basis, and it was a beautiful building or a building of tziur v'kiur. He says there's an artistic kind of work in which they made frescoes on the walls of the house. They used marble and all sorts of different materials. He says that's called a binyan shel simcha, ubinatiyah shel simcha, and he gives those examples that from the kings and so forth and so on. So clearly, what we're seeing here, both from the perspective of the language of the Mishnah in Tainis, mematim besimcha, and from the language of the Shulchan Aruch in Tafkudin and Aleph, is that anything that's prohibited during this period of time of what we call the 9 days from Rosh Chodesh Av and Ad has to be related to simcha. And if you can't make a case that this is related to simcha, then it's not prohibited. So there's no absolute Isra binyan or netiyah. It's only binyan unetiyah shel simcha. And that was supported by Tosfos, if you remember the name, in the name of the Yerushalmi.
Is there any significance that everybody in the Mishnah, the simcha, doesn't have an end to it? But the Shulchan Aruch gives a specific Meirosh Chodesh at a time. Is that significant at all?
You mean the time limitation of the Shulchan Aruch? Is that what you mean, Rosh Chodesh out of times?
Like the Shulchan Aruch is the only one who says it ends at Tisha B'Av.
I don't, honestly, you know, Byron, I don't know that anyone extends these Yisurim beyond Tisha B'Av. But theoretically, you know, you could say such a thing. It doesn't give you the end zone.
Well, for sure it would end by the 15th.
Okay, but do you know of anyone who extends it beyond Tisha B'Av? I don't know of such a shita.
Well, the 10th. I mean, we say the 10th.
Ah, I see. The 10th, up until Chatzos on the 10th. Oh, if that's what you're discussing. Okay, fine. That's a good point.
Everybody's quoting the Mishnah except the Shulchan Aruch.
Right, because the Shulchan Aruch wants to clarify the Mishnah and say out of times. And the last part of our just a review of what we said, is that in the Gemara in Masechti Yevamos, we add to the Mishnah in Tainis that we're talking about miut asakim, lisa velite, livnos velintoa, and that's combined together with the iser of tispores, of haircuts and kibus, and that starts with Rosh Chodesh Av, and that's called mematim beasakim uvemasa umata. Now, in the case of kibus and tispores, on the one hand, the emphasis in the Gemara in Yevamos is on shavua shechalba. In the case of asek and masumatan, the emphasis is on Rosh Chodesh Av and the entire period of the 9 days. However, it goes the other way around as well. With regard to kibus and tisporis, these are recorded as isurim, whereas with regard to masomatan and asokim, it doesn't say anywhere that it's asur, it just says mematim. Mematim means that this is the way the Jewish people did it. I would almost, again, don't quote me on this because they'll call me I don't know what, but I would almost suggest that mematim is a grassroots, spontaneous movement on the part of the rank and file citizens. They just felt that at this time period, from Rosh Chodesh and on, we should not be overextending ourselves in asakim and masumatan, but in nowhere does it say it's asur. And again, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch says mematim b'masu matan. When he talks about kibus and tisporas, he uses the word asur. So again, even though that Isur of Kibbutz and Tisparis is more limited, it's only Shavu Shechalbo, whereas the Isur of, whereas the Miut Simcha of Lisa Velitin and Asakim is from as early as Rosh Chodesh, but nevertheless, Kibbutz and Tisparis are Pu'ulos Hasuros. There's no question about it. That's a violation. Masha Enkein, when we talk about Miut of Masumaton and Asakim, that's mematin, that the people used to do this, but you can call it a minog if you will, but it's definitely not recorded anywhere as an Isur. And the Rambam again, as we saw earlier in Hilchos Tainios Perkei, writes Mishenichnas Av mematin b'simcha. In the next line he says, but Shabbos Shechalbo Tisha B'Av Leos Petofa, Asur L'Sapir L'Chabes. Clearly the Rambam's language indicates that we're talking about two different categories of Isurim, if you will, in the general sense. One is actually Asur, and the other is only a Minog, if that much. It just sounds like Mematim Bahem. Okay. Now, during the 9-day period of Miut Maso Matan, we raise the following question: is it any Maso Matan, any Asakim, or is it only a Maso Matan of Simcha? And that's going to lead us to our question Lamaisa, Halach Lamaisa today, during the 9-day period: can I sign a deal that will bring me in, you know, like massive amounts, hopefully, massive amounts of profits? Or should I postpone that deal until after Tisha B'Av? And this all really reduces, you know, can be reduced to one question, one question only. What are we talking about, Miut Maso Matan? Is it any Maso Matan or only Maso Matan of Simcha? And when we start with the Mishnah in Tainus, as we emphasized before, the impression you get is that we're talking about Simcha. And let's go on and look at a different Mishnah in Tainus. This we didn't see yet. Back on page 1. Because we were looking at the Mishnah in the 4th Perek of Tainus. I want to rewind to the 1st Perek of Tainus. Does anybody know what the subject of the first Perek of Tainus is? If you learned a little Tainus. It's basically drought. Or pestilence, you know, my gefas. And there's a whole mesechta, you know, a whole section of the mesechta goes through the seder of how many fasts we fast, and if the rains aren't coming, and so forth, and so on. And the Mishnah writes, Ovru Elu Velonanu, after all these tadios, they still didn't get the water from coming down from the heavens. Mematin b'masumata. Isn't that a familiar phrase? That's exactly the phrase that we learned with regard to the 9 days, mematin b'masu matan, and then the Mishnah says b'binyan u'b'netia. So what we're going to see now is that this drought year and the laws of Tainios, after they fasted for 13 Tainios and the rains did still not down, are almost identical, a parallel to the laws that apply to the 9 days, and that brings us to the sugya Masechta Megillah, which is the third major sugi that we want to see today. On Daf Hei Amud Beis, on the bottom of your page 1. And there the Gemara quotes a brisa, V'tani Allah, and it says towards the bottom of your page, Binyan shel simcha, Netiyah is Netiyah shel simcha. And now we see the source for all those poskim that spoke about marriage and the like. Ezu binyan shel simcha. What is a binyan shel simcha? And that's a very valid question within the context of tainios for betzores. And the answer is habona beis chasnus libno. And what's netiya shel simcha? Notea aburniki shel malachim. So these are all sorts of artistic, beautiful gardens that are totally luxurious. The purpose of which is to bring a person to a state of simcha. And again, I grant you mitzvah gedola lios b'simcha, which is attributed to Rav Nachman Mibretzlev. But nevertheless, there's certain periods of time in which simcha is inappropriate. So we're not running around hoopling and building these beautiful structures and gardens, and that's a period of drought. In that period of drought, we're not dancing in the streets. And if you look at Tosus, Dibri Amaskamu Ma'atim, which is on the bottom of page 1 on the right side, he says, Pirush Shal Simcha Dome Dumya Dibinyan Unetia. He says that any Masu Matan has to be similar to Binyan Unetia. And again, we just established in the Gemara that Binyan Unetia means a Binyan of Simcha, like a base Chasnus. Netia is a Netia Simcha. Aval Shar Binyanim Sharu. He says, V'ein Lecha Masa Umatan Gadol Mizeh. Now, those words are a little ambiguous. I'm going to take a shot at it. You can disagree with me, but what I think Tosfos has in mind is that in our case of Maso Matan, our Maso Matan is not related to Simcha. It's related to Parnasa. And if Binyan and Atiyah is only a Binyan and Atiyah Shal Simcha, that was prohibited, and Maso Matan by analogy is only a Maso Matan Shal Simcha, then he says our Maso Matan from the point of Rosh Chodesh Av is not considered a Maso Matan Shal Simcha. And therefore, as long as we're involved in business deals for the sake of Parnasa and not for the sake of Simcha, it should be permissible. But the only problem I have with that is how do I square with the Tosin Yevamos that we started with? Tosin Yevamos writes, V'nireh, right, the Softi Ramaskam Yulisa, the Ribui Masu Matan Ka'osar, Shiamatenu Yosemi V'shar Yomit. Here he doesn't add the condition, the clause of Simcha. He seems to be assuming that any Ribui of Masu Matan should be avoided. So again, going back to our original question, I want to sign a big major deal, a contract. Should I postpone it till after 9 days? It seems l'fi ani yisdaiti, it all depends on Tosus and Megillah versus Tosus and Yevamos. Whereas Tosus and Megillah seems to limit Masu Matan, like the case of Netiyah and Binyan, to Simcha, but not for the sake of Parnasa. Tosus in Yevamos seems to assume an overriding, all-inclusive mute of Masu Matan, and therefore you would encourage me to delay signing this contract until after the 9 days. Meaning any type of Maso Matan should be avoided, or should at least be limited, even if it's not a Maso Matan Shal Simcha. Okay. But as I said before, Tosus in Megillah doesn't give you that impression. And in fact, Tosus in Yevamos himself quotes the Yushalmi. The Yushalmi says, Mishenichnas av mematim b'simcha Amar Yishu ben Levi adad di Omar Omar di at Omar b'binyan shel simcha. In other words, with regard to Rosh Chodesh, the 9 days, what the Yushalmi is prohibiting is, or customary, is to be memait binyan shel simcha. Esek Masu Matan is permissible because that's not called Shal Simcha. The Rambam, as we saw before, Perek Gimel Milchus Tainius, brings down the Mishnah with regard to Matzoris, Mematin, Masu Matan, Ubinyan Shal Simcha. Once again, limiting it to Simcha. So if you take a look on page 2, the next to the last source on your page, which is the Rambam in Hilchos Tainius Perek Gimel, there's a long discussion here in the Lechem Mishnah. And basically, we'll try to summarize the Lechem Mishnah's problem in the Rambam. He wants to know, why does the Rambam say in Perek Hei Milchos Tainius Mishen Nichnas Av Mematim B'Simcha, and he mentions nothing about Niut Masu Matan? Why did he leave that out? He only has that in Perek Gimel Milchus Tainius when he discusses the drought and the fasts, but he doesn't have it with regard to the 9 days. Now, the truth is that I believe that the answer to this Lechem Mishnah is hinted at in the Beis Yosef. And that Beis Yosef you'll see on page 3. In Tav Kuf Nun Aleph. We saw already earlier that the Torah Shulchan Aruch writes in the name of Yushalmi that the Iser is a Binyan Shal Simcha. But what we didn't see is that later on in that same paragraph, the Torah quotes a Yesh Omrim and he writes, Kaven de Gemara Didan Oser Binyan Stam is Kol Binyan Ka Omar. So there's another possibility that just like maso matan includes business deals that are not simchadik in their very essence, so to binyan would also include building that's not simchadik. Says the Beis Yosef, "V'achshav lo nagu rov ha'olam lemayit b'masu matan klal mishenichnas av." In other words, the minhag of olam, of the well-received and common tradition in our day, says the Beis Yosef, is to assume, like the first opinion, which would seem also to be reflected in the Rambam, namely, that only simchadika stuff is prohibited. That's what he calls the Svara Rishona, which is mentioned here in the Torah, and is found in the Rambam. So if that be the case, Rav Osai, maybe we have an answer to the Lechem Mishnah's question. The Lechem Mishnah makes a very valid diuk in the Rambam in comparing and contrasting Perek Gimel in the case of Tainus on a drought and Perek Hay with regard to the 9 days. In Perek Gimel, the Rambam says that we're talking about miut maso umatan, whereas in Hilchos Tainus Perek Hay Mishenichnas Av, the Rambam completely drops the ball and omits maso umatan. The answer is that the Rambam is like the first Be'er, holds that Masu Matan would only be Asur during the 9 days if it had an element of Simcha, dimension of Simcha. And Masu Matan inherently is not a Mice of Simcha. Therefore, the Rambam doesn't even mention Masu Matan. Masha Enkin in Perek Gimel Milchus Tainios, with regard to fast days for impending Chas V'Shalom calamity, like drought, that's already a whole different halacha. That's halacha which has to change radically the entire fabric of society and the way we behave in society. Now's the time to dedicate ourselves exclusively for tefillah, for fasting, for tshuva, and therefore, this is not a time to dedicate ourselves to masu matan. And therefore, the Rambam writes, Avru Eluv Lo Nenem Ematim Masu Matan. Again, we have to do a certain bare minimum of Masu Matan, but not to go beyond. And therefore, I would submit to you that as far as Mishenichnas Av is concerned, the Rambam and the Minhag Olam as codified here by the Beis Yosef would say Mishenichnas Av Ematim B'Simcha. The 9 days has to be Miat Simcha. If you want to tell me that Masu Matan is prohibited during the 9 days, it's got to be Masu Matan Shal Simcha. And honestly speaking, I don't know of a Metzius of Masu Matan V'Simcha. Perhaps one could say that, you know, if I invest in a luxury house in Florida, I don't know, you know, they predict it's going to go up in value, and I'll have, you know, Maybe that's not within the gather of Parnassa. You know, I'm hoping that, you know, during a certain time period I'll take a vacation every winter, I'll go down to Florida. You know, that's called Masu Matan Shal Simcha. But Stam, Masu Matan, is not Shal Simcha. It's done for the sake of Parnassa. That's how I eke out a living. And if I'm rich, then I'm giving tzedakah, whatever I'm doing with my funds. So therefore, Me'ikar Adin, according to the strict letter of the law, the concept of miut, masu matan, on the 9 days, is limited to simcha. And that makes it similar to binyan shal simcha, which is very limited in its application and scope, and netiya shal simcha, which is equally limited in scope. So when you talk about tzarchei chuppah, okay, that might be a masu matan shal simcha. At least for the caterer, I don't know. Now, Tosfos, as we saw in Yevamos, wants to go beyond that. And that's where the Torah quotes his second opinion. Again, I want to see the language of the Torah one more time, on page 3. He says, Yesh omrim gmardin oser binyan stam, is called binyan oser. So if you take a look at the Beis Yosef, the Beis Yosef says the Efshar Ode, if you see the second pointer, the Efshar Lomar Ode, Sha'olam sovrim she'ein lemait b'yesek klal v'afilu heim tzarchei achupa. If it's necessary to organize the wedding during this period of time, because the pressure is going to be on in a week, you know, the wedding is like you say tu ba'av, then we're not going to be mamayit even in esek shel simcha. And why is that? Dahida choletz, meaning the sugyan yevamis midas chasidus hi. Now that this is a whole new, you know, throwing in a new monkey wrench into the whole equation over here. He says the following, that the Rif, the Rosh, and the Rambam, those are the three great pillars of Horah, they don't record Midas Chasidus as a general rule. There may be a few exceptions. They're interested in codifying the law. What does the law and obedience thereof require of me? And therefore this concept that during the 9 days there should be mute Asek doesn't appear in any of the great poskim. Certainly the Rambam we saw omits it in Perikei. And the reason for that is because whatever the sugyan yevamos is going to establish here as mute, you know, misha nichnas av mimatim bebinyan and bemasumaton, all that he says is midas chasidus. And again, this is another variation of our answer to the Lecha Mishnah's Kasha, because in Perek Gimel Milchus Tainius, when we're talking about a drought, the idea of observing a mute masu maton is not a midas chasidus. That's the way we have to behave, and that's the way we have to live, and radically change our daily behavior and our focus during a period of drought. So we're talking about a midas chasidus. And it's very interesting that in the final presentation, the last paragraph of the Beis Yosef, he wants to say that, he says that those who want to impose a kind of a mute of masu maton during this period of time, he says, chumra yiseirahi. And how does he know that it's a chumra yiseirah? You know, when you talk about Midas Chasidus, okay, I don't obligate anyone, I don't legislate, require, but nevertheless, it's admirable. It's recommended. Here he's saying that to come and tell me mute Masu Matan and mute Binyan, he wants to call it a Chumra Yisera. Maybe it's not even a Midas Chasidus. Why? And look at his proof, a very sharp move that the Beis Yosef makes. He says, "Dafilu melacha mamish, eino asura b'tishba v'yatzmo." Says the Beis Yosef, "You're allowed to go to work on Tisha B'av." Now, you and I don't know too many people who do go to work on Tisha B'av. Probably, certainly in the Heiliger Clan Park, nobody goes to work on Tisha B'av, right? But he says that Mikra Adin, you're allowed to work on Tisha B'av. The Kolshkin, how much more so Masu Matan, which is not even Malacha. You don't even have to go to work. You know, you just show up in the lawyer's chambers and sign the contract. That killed Fed. And not only that, but we're talking now about the 9 days. We're not even talking about the, you know, Tisha B'Av or Shavuot Shachal B'Av. And basically the impression you get over here from the Beis Yosef is that any kind of strict obedience to mute masu matan during the 9 days is at best midas chasidus, and it might even be a chumra yisera. And therefore, la halacha lemaisa, the Shulchan Aruch paskins on the bottom of your page 3, that mishenichnas av matan b'simcha, and mirosh chodesh ad tainis mematim b'masu matan ubinyan shel simcha. Anything that you want to be mamayit, again, that's a minog, is only shel simcha. And if you look at the Magen Avraham, he writes on the side, on the left side, number Zion, what's binyan shel simcha? He says, koy gami an masu matan kagon tzorchei chupa. I will shar masu matan shari kedarko. So basically, a person goes to work and conducts his financial operations and his business investments and so forth during the 9 days exactly as he would the rest of the year. Ubinokom shenagu iser b'chol masu maton. He says, however, there is a midas chasidus that some accepted upon themselves to prohibit not only dealings about marriages, but any sort of business dealings. He says, tzarchat Torah, if necessary, you want to be matir a neder. Again, we're not learning Hilchos Matars the Dorah now, but this is complicated, how you can be matir minig yofer. He says, that's already comes under midas chasidus. And if you look at the right side of your page, that's the Taz, he writes, Kosev Beis Yosef Achshav Lo Nagu Rov Ha'om L'mayit B'masu Matan Klal Mishenich Nasav. Why? Because it's not considered Simcha. It's not like Binyan and Atiyah Shal Simcha. And that's the Svar Rishona of the tour. And he writes on the fourth line, Lo Nesar Masu Matan El B'Simcha Kidiri Asvar Blah Blah Ulefi Zeh Tzrichim Lizar B'Masu Matan Shal Simcha Tzarchei Chupa V'Imi Shem Holo Airei He says that our minute goes as far as even to permit even involving preparation for the chuppah, or your financial preparations, etc. Shedachu Tosus Zu Asfar Dolo Asru El Laso Su'uda Zu. You're not allowed to make a Su'uda Simcha during the 9 days. And therefore he says, Venir de Tama Minigla Hakel. Yesh Olav Mas Melch Vesarim. He says, why didn't we accept upon ourselves this super duper chumra of Midas Chasidus to outlaw and prohibit Masu Matan and curtail our business dealings during the 9 days? The reason is Yesh Olav Mas Melch Vesarim. We live in a society, we have to pay taxes, and it's very expensive, and therefore we have to work as much as we can in order to afford all these. Paying all these expenses, and therefore we can be mati masu matan from Rosh Chodesh Av and on. So on both sides, we have a whole school of thought, including the Rama, the Beis Yosef, the Shulchan Aruch himself, the Magen Avraham, and the Taz, all of which assume, I think, per echad, that this concept of miut of masumatan is only masumatan of simcha. So, for example, if you wanted to buy some beautiful sterling, what's it called, that glass? What's that very expensive glass?
Crystal,
right. You wanted to buy crystal, you know, to beautify your house, that would be a masu matan shel simcha. Well, let's say you wanted to buy sterling silver, you know, again, to beautify your house, you have this beautiful brake front and you want to add some more expensive items. I wouldn't do it during these 9 days. That could be, again, not mikra din, but at least midin minog, that could be a prohibition of masu matan shel simcha. But other masu matan, which means work, is ain't no us or klal. I wouldn't see any bit of an iser for it whatsoever. And the Taz writes, as we saw before, that in our time we don't have a minhag of being mamayit b'masu matan. Not only that, he says, even with regard to a chuppah, if it's necessary. And you talk about making a parnasa, we live under, you know, the government, we have to pay money. And now if you take a look on page 5, again, I don't know if you got that far in the Chayodom, who is the final word of Halach of the Ashkenazim, I guess, at least in the pre-Mishnah Brura era. He writes, Mirosh Chodesh V'Ada Tainis, Midina, according to the strict letter of the law, Yesh Omrim, Did Tzarech L'mayit B'chol Masu Matan, but Minogenu L'hatir B'chol Masu Matan. He quotes both opinions. The first, he just switches the order, but he says, how minig is to be matir. And not only that, a kol nechshav l'dvar mitzvah, rabosai. Look at that. This is a message for all times. And it's tucked in here to Hilchos Tisha B'Av. When a person goes out to work, and he's making a parnasa, well, that's not a mitzvah. Oh yes, says the Chayonim, that's a mitzvah. And that's masu matan shel mitzvah. When we call it on tzarchei chupa, binyan shel simcha, tzrichin l'mayit, we should cut down our, you know, buying beautiful things and decorating our house with artwork and stuff like that. that should be avoided. But as far as Pakmatia is concerned, as far as business dealings is concerned, the Chayodom has no compunctions, no inhibitions whatsoever about being Matirit. Now, as I said before, the Chayodom was the final word before the Mishnah Berurah came along. Let's look at the Mishnah Berurah, that's back on page 4, and see how he finally summarizes all these halachas. And this you'll see in Sif Katan Yud Aleph, which is smack in the middle of your page. And he writes, Yesh min haposkim desfile dahayinu shelo yiso b'masu matin shel simcha kegon lakachas klei kesev tzorchei chupa v'chadome el stam masu matin ein tzorch l'mai klal. And I have a feeling he's referring here to the Chayodah. V'yesh, but other poskim desfile dechol masu matin tzorch l'mai b'eis hazos. And now we're superimposing the laws of Perek Gimel Milchus Tainius of a drought year onto Perek Hay Milchus Tainius of the 9 days. V'lo yasok elik barely, kidei parnasoso. No great business deals. Postpone signing the contract. He says, rak, however, imu yirid, right, there's a sale. That's called a Dover Ovid Vishari Becholin. And even those who are Machmir would say that if there's a sale, you know, here's an opportunity for a businessman to purchase at a reduced price a great deal of merchandise that he can sell at a higher price later on. Or on an individual level, I find that I can purchase something and save a whole bunch of money, because if I wait till after Tisha B'Av, it'll be much more expensive. That's only for the Yesh Machmirim. Even they're both in that case. But Bismanenu, our minig is Nagulahaka Becholze. Mishum de Kol, Akol Nechav Ka Ace Kide Parnasasim. He just falls a little shy of quoting that last line in the Chayonah that got me so excited, that our Parnasa is called a mitzvah. And if you take a look at Sifkot Yud Gimel in the Sharat Zion in the Mishnah Berurah, he adds another point. He says, "Vehinei midivrei Abogad Avraham Mashma the Afal Pichein b'Masu Matan Shel Simcha Yesh Limnoa." That we do want to avoid a Masu Matan of Simcha. And he quotes the Chai Adam. He says that the Taz and the Elio Rabbah are Mashma that even Bizman HaMinog we could be Mekil, because we might not be able to find the time to prepare for this chasana. We don't want to put ourselves into a pressure. Now we can chap. We have some spare time, and chap around the caterer and the flower person and the party planner or pooper, whatever you call it, and decide how much we're going to pay them. V'tov l'ach. So he says again, you know, it's a nice midas chasidus if you want to be machmir. Now, I asked you at the outset of the shiur, and we'll try to summarize it. If you have to go, you have to go. Does a chassan buy a ring for his kala during the 9 days? Rav Moshe Feinstein, which is on page 6, says that that should be avoided. This is not a period of time for buying a wedding ring, because he calls that mata umasin shel simcha. But he says that if he's going to lose on the deal by postponing it, you know, now there are rings on sale, don't tell your kala that, he should buy the ring during the 9 days. Rav Moshe asks whether you should buy furniture, whether you should buy an automobile during the 9 days. And he writes that buying an automobile is a tainuk, and therefore it's also. Here in this country, it's miserable. It's not a tainuk. Because nobody buys a car in this country. Nobody. We only buy used cars. It could be that a 10-year-old car is actually tiny. Welcome to Israel. So therefore, Rav Moshe wants to say that buying a car, an automobile, purchasing an automobile is called binyan shel simcha. However, if he needs the car for the sake of parnasa, then certainly it's mutter. And that's called masumata, not shel simcha. And then there's a discussion here in a sefer called the Or HaTzion Litzion, which is on page 8, regarding buying furniture. He says, "Roy limona mi ribui masumat diomei dehanu lasuk b'schor baskos k'sofim k'yotzem misha efshalo shalo liftoach hanuso." He speaks about someone who could close down his store. Okay, he says, "B'chlal ze knias rehitim purchasing furniture. He should avoid buying furniture, going to furniture stores during this period of time. The af has monasrihitim, he shouldn't even order furniture during this period of time until after Tisha B'Av. Even the order itself is considered masumatan, and it's masumatan shel simcha. However, he says imudavra avud, the mechirim ya'alu harbe, the prices are on the way up, and it'll be mafsided. Then certainly he should be ordering furniture for kniyah. He wants to know about klei bayit, like for example, purchasing a fridge. Or a washing machine, or purchasing an air conditioner, and he vacillates back and forth. He thinks that it's for the function of the house, and if it's not, it's not considered as simchadik as rehut, you know, buying a new couch. As far as renovations are concerned, the poskim seems to say that renovations may come under binyan shel simcha. And the Mishnah Berurah also, in that same paragraph from page 4, Sifkat Yud Beis, says that he thinks that perhaps shiputzim, you know, renovations are considered simchadik, and therefore the poskim say that you shouldn't begin renovating a house during the 9 days. However, the Ben Ish Chai is famous for saying that anything that you started before the 9 days, that's okay. You can continue. Ein mafsikin. But ein lahaskil bebinyan mirosh chodesh af. And finally, the general summary in one or two lines of everything that we're saying is that masu matan l'tzorch mitzvah, l'tzorch parnasa, is mutter. Anything for the sake of a base knesses or buying sifrei kodesh, all that is mutter. That's called tzorch mitzvah. However, renovations and expanding your dira during the 9 days should not be begun during the 9 days. He has a whole discussion here, which is not for us in Rav Avadya Yosef on page 6, about kablanim. Kablanim, who are in construction, will build buildings, but for the purpose of making profit. Are they permitted to build during the 9 days? He has a whole discussion here about someone who purchased a new flat. Can he enter in to live in that flat during the 9 days? And some of the poskim, believe it or not, want to differentiate between Eretz Yisroel, which is a mitzvah Yishuv Aretz, and Chutz Laretz. In any event, Rabosai, what we should try to do during these days is focus on the Avelus, focus on the loss of the Beis HaMikdash, Yiratzo may be his will, that we fulfill this mitzvah of Avelus, Imesh Kachech Yushalayim, and as a result, HaKadosh Baruch will bring about speedily in our times the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, the Beis Shlishi, the Bias HaMashiach, the Kibbutz Golios, B'meirav Yomeinu. Amen.
Amen. Right. How's the Rav feeling now?